Further teachings of Lord Chaitanya, Chapter 40, Select Devotees, Episode 12. Lord Chaitanya delivers a mogha. Now at this time, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya had a son-in-law named Amogha, who was the husband of his daughter Shapi. Although born in an aristocratic Brahmana family, Amogha was a great fault finder and blasphemer. Amogha wanted to see Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu eat, but he was not allowed to enter. Indeed, the Bhattacharya guarded the threshold of his house with a stick in his hand. However, as soon as the Bhattacharya began distributing prasadam and was a little inattentive, Amogha came in, and seeing the quantity of food, Amogha began to blaspheme. "Acha! This much food is sufficient to satisfy 10 or 12 men. But this sannyasi alone is eating so much." And as soon as Amogha said this, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya turned his eyes upon Amogha. And seeing the Bhattacharya's attitude, Amogha immediately left. The Bhattacharya ran after Amogha to strike him with a stick, but Amogha fled so fast that the Bhattacharya could not catch him. Sarvabhauma then began to curse his son-in-law, calling him ill names. When Sarvabhauma returned, he saw that Lord Chaitanya was laughing to hear the Bhattacharya criticize Amogha. And when Shati's mother, the Bhattacharya's wife, heard of this incident, immediately she began to strike her head and chest, saying again and again, "Let Shati become a widow! Let Shati become a widow! Let Shati become a widow!" Seeing the lamentation of both husband and wife, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu tried his best to pacify them. And according to their desire, Lord Chaitanya ate the prasadam and was very satisfied. After Lord Chaitanya finished eating, the Bhattacharya poured water for Lord Chaitanya to wash his mouth, hands, and legs, and then offered Lord Chaitanya flavored spices, tulsi manjaris, cloves, and cardamom. The Bhattacharya then placed a flower garland over Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, smearing his body with sandalwood pulp. After offering obeisances, Sarvabhauma submitted the following humble statement. "No, I brought you to my home just to have you blasphemed. This is a great offense. So please excuse me. I beg your pardon." "No, what Amogha has said is actually correct. Therefore, it is not blasphemy. What is your offense?" After saying this, Lord Chaitanya left and returned to his residence. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya followed Sri Krishna Chaitanya, falling down at the Lord's feet. The Bhattacharya said many things in self-reproach. Sri Krishna Chaitanya then pacified him, sending him back to his home. After returning to his home, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya consulted with his wife, the mother of Shati. After personally condemning himself, Sarvabhauma began to speak as follows. "If the man who blasphemed Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is killed, then his sinful action may be atoned. Or else, if I give up my own life, then this sinful action may be atoned. However, neither of these ideas is befitting because both bodies belong to Brahmanas. So, instead, I shall never see the face of that blasphemer. I reject him and give up my relationship with him. I shall never even speak his name. Inform my daughter Shati to abandon her relationship with her husband because he has fallen down. For when the husband falls down, it is the wife's duty to relinquish that relationship. When a husband is fallen, one's relationship with him must be given up. That night, Amoga, Sarvabhauma Bhatta Acharya's son-in-law, fled. And in the morning, he immediately fell sick with cholera, an acute intestinal infection. When the Bhatta Acharya heard that Amoga was dying of cholera, he thought, it is the favor of providence that Krishna is doing what I wanted to do. For when one offends the Supreme Personality of Godhead, karma immediately takes effect. After murmuring this, Sarvabhauma recited two verses from the revealed scriptures. Mahatahi prayatnena hasti ashva rata pattibhi asmabhiryad anushteyam gandharvaistad anushtitam. What we have had to arrange with great endeavor by collecting elephants, horses, chariots, and infantry soldiers has already been accomplished by the Gandharvas. Ayu Shriyam Yashodharamang Lokan Ashisha Evacha Hanti Shreyangsi Sarvani Pungso Mahad Atikramaha. When a person mistreats great souls, one's lifespan, opulence, reputation, religion, possessions, and good fortune are all destroyed. At this time, Gopinath Acharya went to see Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and the Lord asked him about the events taking place in the house of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. Gopinath Acharya informed Lord Chaitanya that both husband and wife were now fasting, and that their son-in-law Amoga was dying of cholera. As soon as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard that Amoga was going to die, immediately Lord Chaitanya ran to Amoga in great haste. Placing his hand on Amoga's chest, Lord Chaitanya spoke as follows. The heart of a Brahmana is by nature very clean. Therefore, it is a proper place for Krishna to sit. So, why have you allowed the Chandala of jealousy to sit here also? In this way, you have contaminated a most purified place, your own heart. However, due to the association of Sarvabhauma Bhatta Acharya, all your contamination is now vanquished. When a person's heart is cleansed of all contamination, one is able to chant the Mahamantra, Hare Krishna. Therefore, Amoga, get up and chant the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. And if you do so, Krishna will unfailingly bestow mercy upon you. After hearing Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and being touched by him, Amoga, who was on his deathbed, immediately stood up and began to chant the holy name of Krishna. Amoga thus became mad with ecstatic love and began to dance emotionally. And while Amoga danced in ecstatic love, he manifested all the ecstatic symptoms: trembling, tears, jubilation, trance, perspiration, and a faltering voice. Seeing these waves of ecstatic emotion, Lord Chaitanya began to laugh. Amoga then fell before Sri Krishna Chaitanya's lotus feet and submissively prayed, O merciful Sri Krishna Chaitanya, please excuse my offense. Not only did Amoga beg the Lord's pardon, but he also began slapping his own cheeks, saying, By this mouth I have blasphemed you. By this mouth I have blasphemed you. By this mouth I have blasphemed you. Indeed, Amoga continued slapping his face over and over until his cheeks were swollen. Finally, Gopinathacharya stopped him, catching hold of his hands. After this, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu pacified Amoga, touching his body and then saying, "You are the object of my affection, because you are the son-in-law of Sarvabhauma Bhatta Acharya. Everyone in Sarvabhauma Bhatta Acharya's house is very dear to me, including his maids and servants, and even his dog. And what to speak of his relatives? So now, Amoga, you should always chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, and do not commit any further offenses." After giving Amoga this instruction, Lord Chaitanya went to Sarvabhauma's house. Upon seeing Lord Chaitanya, Sarvabhauma Bhatta Acharya immediately caught hold of his lotus feet. Lord Chaitanya embraced Sarvabhauma and then sat down. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu pacified the Bhatta Acharya by saying, "Well, after all, Amoga, your son-in-law, is a child. So, what is his fault? Why are you fasting? And why are you angry? Just get up and take your bath, and then go see the face of Lord Jagannath. Then, return here to eat your lunch. In this way, I shall be happy. I shall stay here until you return to take the remnants of Lord Jagannath for your lunch." Catching hold of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's lotus feet, the Bhatta Acharya said, "Why did you bring Amoga back to life? It would have been better that he had died. Amoga is a child, and he is your son. The father does not take the faults of the son seriously, especially when the father is maintaining him. Now that he has become a Vaishnava, he is offenseless. So now you can bestow your mercy upon him without hesitation. My lord, please go see Lord Jagannath. After taking my bath, I shall also go there and then return. So Gopinath, stay here and inform me when Sarvabhauma has taken his prasadam." After saying this, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to see Lord Jagannath. Sarvabhauma Bhatta Acharya completed his bath, went to see Lord Jagannath, and then returned to his house to accept food. And thereafter, Amoga became an unalloyed devotee of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Amoga danced in ecstasy and peacefully chanted the holy name of Lord Krishna. In this way, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu performed his various pastimes. Whoever sees them or hears them recounted becomes truly astonished. Thus, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu enjoyed eating in the house of Sarvabhauma Bhatta Acharya. Within that one pastime, many wonderful pastimes were manifest. Such are the peculiar characteristics of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes. Thus, Sri Krishna Chaitanya ate in Sarvabhauma Bhatta Acharya's house. And in this way, Sarvabhauma's love for Sri Krishna Chaitanya has become very well known. I have thus related the ecstatic love of Sarvabhauma's wife, who is known as the mother of Shati. And I have also related Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's great mercy, which he manifests by excusing Amoga's offense. Lord Chaitanya did so due to Amoga's relationship with a devotee. Whoever hears these pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with faith and love will attain the shelter of the Lord's lotus feet very soon. The following are purports to this section by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was accepting prasadam at the house of Sarvabhauma Bhatta Acharya, his son-in-law Amoga created trouble in the family with his criticisms, and the following morning, Amoga was attacked by the disease of Visuchika, cholera, an acute intestinal infection caused by the ingestion of contaminated water or food. But Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu very kindly saved Amoga from death and enlivened him in the chanting of the holy name of Lord Krishna. Sarvabhauma grihe bhunjan swa nindakam amoghakam angi kurvan sutang chakre gaura swang bhakta vashyatam. While Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was taking prasadam at the house of Sarvabhauma Bhatta Acharya, Amoga criticized Lord Chaitanya, and still Lord Chaitanya accepted Amoga, thereby showing how much Lord Chaitanya was obliged to his devotees. The Hari Bhakti Vilas cites the following quotation from the Skanda Purana concerning the blaspheming of a Vaishnava, taken from a conversation between Markandeya Rishi and Bhagiratha. O my dear king, one who derides an exalted devotee loses the results of his pious activities, opulence, reputation, and sons. Vaishnavas are all great souls, and whoever blasphemes them falls down to the hell known as Maharaurava, accompanied by one's forefathers. Whoever kills or blasphemes a Vaishnava, and whoever is envious of a Vaishnava, or angry with a Vaishnava, or whoever does not offer the Vaishnava obeisances, or who does not feel joy upon seeing a Vaishnava, certainly falls into a hellish condition. Also, the Hari Bhakti Vilas gives the following quotation from the Dwaraka Mahatmya, taken from a conversation between Prahlad Maharaj and Bali Maharaj. Those sinful people who blaspheme Vaishnavas, who are all great souls, are subjected very severely to the punishment offered by Yamaraj. In his Bhakti Sandarbha, Jiva Goswami quotes this statement concerning the blaspheming of Lord Vishnu. One who criticizes Lord Vishnu or his devotees loses all the benefits accrued in 100 pious births. Such a person rots in the Kumbhipaka hell and is bitten by worms as long as the sun and moon exist. One should therefore not even see the face of a person who blasphemes Lord Vishnu and his devotees. One should never try to associate with such persons. In his Bhakti Sandarbha, Jiva Goswami further quotes from the Srimad Bhagavatam 10th canto, "If one does not immediately leave upon hearing the Lord or the Lord's devotee blasphemed, he or she falls down from devotional service." Similarly, in the 4th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Lord Shiva's wife Sati states, "If one hears an irresponsible person blaspheme the master and controller of religion, then he or she should block one's ears and go away if unable to punish the blasphemer. But if one is able to kill, then one should by force cut out the blasphemer's tongue and kill the offender. And after that, he or she should give up one's own life." Now in the case of Srila Sarvabhauma Bhatta Acharya, he considered that if Amoga were killed, the killer would suffer sinful reactions for killing the body of a Brahmana. And for the same reason, it would have been undesirable for Sarvabhauma to commit suicide because he also was a Brahmana. Therefore, since neither course could be accepted, the Bhatta Acharya decided to give up his relationship with his son-in-law Amoga and never again see his face. As far as killing the body of a Brahmana, Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, gives the following injunction concerning the Brahma Bandhu, the person born of a Brahmana father but devoid of Brahminical qualities. The personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, said, O Arjuna, a Brahma Bandhu is not to be killed, but if such a person is an aggressor, then one must be killed. Quoting from the Smriti, Srila Sridhar Swami comments on this same quotation from the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. The aggressor intent on killing may be a very learned scholar of Vedanta, and yet one should be killed because of one's envy in killing others. So in such a case, it is not sinful to kill a Brahmana. Later, in that same chapter from the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, it is also concluded, cutting the hair from one's head, depriving the Brahma Bandhu from one's wealth, and driving the Brahma Bandhu from one's residence are the prescribed punishments, while there is no injunction for killing the body of the Brahma Bandhu. As far as Shati, the daughter of Sarvabhauma Bhatta Acharya, was concerned, she was advised to give up her relationship with her husband. And concerning this, Lord Rishabhadev, in the fifth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, states, one cannot be a husband if he cannot liberate his dependents from inevitable death. So, if a person is not in Krishna consciousness and is bereft of spiritual power, one cannot protect one's wife from the path of repeated birth and death. Consequently, such a person cannot be accepted as the husband. So, a wife should dedicate her life and everything to Krishna for further advancement in Krishna consciousness. And if her husband abandons Krishna consciousness and she gives up her connection with him, then she follows in the footsteps of the Dvijapatnis, the wives of the Brahmanas, who were engaged in performing sacrifices. The wife is not to be condemned for cutting off such a relationship. In this regard, Sri Krishna assures the Dvijapatnis in the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, my dear wives of the Brahmanas, rest assured that your husbands will not neglect you upon your return, nor will your brothers, sons, or fathers refuse to accept you. Because you are my pure devotees, not only your relatives, but also the people in general, as well as the demigods, will be satisfied with you. Because transcendental love for me does not depend upon bodily connection. And anyone whose mind is always absorbed in me will surely very soon come to me for my eternal association. Patiṃ ca patitaṃ tyajet. This is a quotation from the Smriti Shastra. And also, as stated in the 7th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, in a conversation between Narada Muni and Maharaj Yudhisthira, Narada says, a wife who is satisfied, who is not greedy, who is expert, and who knows religious principles, who speaks what is dear and truthful, and who is not bewildered, who is always clean and affectionate, should be very much devoted to her husband if he is not fallen. Mahatta hi prayatnena hasti ashva rafa patibhi asmabhir yad anushteyam gandharvaistad anushtitam. This is a quotation from the Mahabharata. Bhimasen made this statement when all the Pandavas were living in exile in the forest, and at that time there was a fight between the Kauravas and the Gandharvas. The Kaurava soldiers were under the command of Karna, but the commander-in-chief of the Gandharvas was able to arrest all the Kauravas by virtue of superior military strength. And at that time, Duryodhana's ministers and commanders requested Maharaj Yudhisthira to help. And so, after being thus petitioned, Bhimasen spoke this verse, remembering Duryodhana's former nefarious and atrocious activities against them. Indeed, Bhimasen felt it very fitting that Duryodhana and his company were now arrested. This could have been accomplished by the Pandavas only with great endeavor. Ayu Shriyam Yasho Dharmam Lokan Ashusha Evacha Hanti Shreyansi Sarvani Pungso Mahad Atikramaha. This statement from the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam was made by Shukadeva Goswami to Maharaj Parikshit. This quotation concerns the attempted killing of Krishna's sister, Yogamaya, who appeared at the same time as Krishna as the daughter of Mother Yashoda. This daughter, Yogamaya, and Krishna were born simultaneously. Vasudeva thus replaced Yogamaya with Krishna and took Yogamaya away. When Yogamaya was brought to Mathura and Kamsa attempted to kill her, Yogamaya slipped out of Kamsa's hands, for Yogamaya could not be killed. She appeared before Kamsa as Durga, informing him about the birth of his enemy Krishna. And being thus baffled, Kamsa consulted his associates, who were all demons. When this big conspiracy was taking place, this verse was spoken by Shukadeva Goswami, who points out that a demon can lose everything because of his nefarious activities. The word Mahad Atikrama, meaning envy of Lord Vishnu and his devotees, is significant in this verse. The word Mahat indicates a great personality, either a devotee or the supreme personality of Godhead himself. Being always engaged in the Lord's service, the devotees themselves are as great as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The word Mahat is also explained by Lord Krishna in his Bhagavad Gita 9th chapter. Maha Atmanas Tumang Partha Daivim Prakritim Ashritaha Bhajanti Ananya Manaso Gyatva Bhutadim Avyayam. O son of Pritha, those who are not deluded, the great souls, are under the protection of the divine nature. They are fully engaged in devotional service because they know me as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, original and inexhaustible. Being envious of the Lord and his devotees is not at all auspicious for the demon, for by such envy, the demon loses everything considered beneficial. Brahmeti Paramatmeti Bhagavan Iti Shabdyate. The absolute truth is realized in three phases: in personal Brahman, the Supersoul, Paramatma, and the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Bhagavan. All of these are one and the same truth, but Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan constitute three different features. Whoever understands Brahman is called a Brahmana. And when a Brahmana engages in the Lord's devotional service, then one is called a Vaishnava. Unless one comes to understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one's realization of impersonal Brahman is imperfect. A Brahmana can chant the Hare Krishna mantra on the platform of Nama Abhasa, but not on the platform of pure vibration. When a Brahmana engages in the Lord's service, fully understanding one's eternal relationship, then one's devotional service is called Abhidheya. And when one attains that stage, one is called a Bhagavata or Vaishnava. And this indicates that one is free from contamination and material attachment. Lord Krishna confirms this in the 7th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. Yeshang tu antikatam papam jananam punya karmanam te dvandva moha nirmukta bhajante mang duridha vartaha. Persons who have acted piously in previous lives and in the present life, and whose sinful actions are completely eradicated, are thus freed from the duality of delusion, and so they engage themselves in Krishna's service with determination. The Brahmana may be a very learned scholar, but this does not mean he is free from material contamination. The Brahmana's contamination, however, is in the mode of goodness. In the material world, the three modes, goodness, passion, and ignorance, are simply different gradations of contamination. So unless a Brahmana transcends such contamination and approaches the platform of unalloyed devotional service, he cannot be accepted as a Vaishnava. An impersonalist may be aware of the impersonal Brahman feature of the Absolute Truth, but his activities are on the impersonal platform. Sometimes the impersonalist imagines a form of the Lord, technically known as Saguna Upasana, but such an attempt is never successful in helping one attain complete realization. The impersonalist may consider oneself a Brahmana and may be situated in the mode of goodness, but nonetheless, he is still conditioned by one of the modes of material nature. This means the Brahmana is not yet liberated, for liberation can be attained only when one is completely free from all the three modes of material nature. In any case, the Mayavad philosophy keeps one conditioned. But if one becomes a Vaishnava through proper initiation, then one automatically becomes a Brahmana, and there is no doubt about it, for the Garuda Purana confirms this. Out of many thousands of Brahmanas, one may become qualified to perform yajna. Out of many thousands of such qualified Brahmanas, one may be fully aware of the Vedanta philosophy. Out of many millions of learned Vedanta scholars, there may be one Vishnu Bhakta, or devotee of Lord Vishnu. And it is that devotee who is most exalted. So, unless one is a fully qualified Brahmana, one cannot advance in the spiritual science. The real Brahmana is never envious of Vaishnavas. And if one is, then one is considered an imperfect neophyte. Impersonalist Brahmanas are always opposed to Vaishnava principles. They are envious of Vaishnavas because they do not know the goal of life. Natte viduhi swartha kating. However, when the Brahmana becomes a Vaishnava, then there is no duality. If a Brahmana does not become a Vaishnava, then one certainly falls down from the Brahmana platform, as confirmed in the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Na bhajanti vajananti sthanad brashta patanti adha. We can actually see that in this age of Kali, many so-called Brahmanas are envious of Vaishnavas. The Kali-contaminated Brahmanas considered deity worship to be imaginative. Archye Vishnau Shiladhir, Gurushu Nara Matir, Vaishnave Jati Buddhih. Such a contaminated Brahmana may superficially imagine a form of the Lord, but actually one considers the deity in the temple to be made of stone or wood. Similarly, such a contaminated Brahmana considers the Guru to be an ordinary human being and objects when a Vaishnava is created by the Krishna consciousness movement. Many so-called Brahmanas attempt to fight us, saying, "How can you create a Brahmana out of a European or American? For a Brahmana can be born only in an Indian Hindu Brahmana family." They do not consider that this is never stated in any revealed scripture. Lord Krishna specifically states this in the 4th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. Chatur Varnyang Maya Shristang Gunakarma Vibhagashah. According to the three modes of material nature and the work associated with them, the four divisions of human society are created by me. Thus, a Brahmana is not a result of the so-called caste system. One becomes a Brahmana only by qualification. And similarly, the Vaishnava does not belong to a particular caste. Rather, one's designation is determined by the rendering of devotional service. As stated in the Shaka Nirnayamrita, "I offer my obeisances unto Amogha Pandit, who was accepted by Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And as a result of this acceptance, Amogha was always merged in ecstatic love and manifested ecstatic symptoms such as choking of the voice and standing of the hairs on his body. Amogha was an offender because he blasphemed the Lord, and as a result, Amogha was about to die of cholera. Amogha did not receive an opportunity to be freed from all of his offenses after being attacked by the disease. But Sarvabhauma Bhatta Acharya and his wife were very dear to Lord Chaitanya, and because of their relationship, Lord Chaitanya excused Amogha. So instead of being punished by Lord Chaitanya, Amogha was saved by Lord Chaitanya's mercy. All of this was due to the unflinching love of Sarvabhauma Bhatta Acharya for Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Externally, Amogha was Sarvabhauma Bhatta Acharya's son-in-law, and Amogha was being maintained by Sarvabhauma. Consequently, if Amogha were not excused, Amogha's punishment would have directly affected Sarvabhauma. Amogha's death would have indirectly brought about the death of Sarvabhauma Bhatta Acharya himself. Recorded February 13 and 14, 2022 by Nirantara Dasa. All glories to the ISKCON founder Acharya, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Om Tat Sat. Don't play with life, it's not a game. Slay with the knife of God's holy name. Want to enjoy, but haven't you learned? Heaven can't be bought, it has to be earned. So come out of the darkness and into the light. You know you're in mind. Get up and